Blessings to you on this day as we engage in the 11th chapter of My Soul Waits by Marva Don. The title for today, The Right Kind of Fear. The Right Kind of Fear. And it comes from Psalm, the 4th chapter, verses 3 through 5. And I will read the NASB version of this. Tremble and do not sin. Meditate in your heart upon your bed and be still. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and trust in the Lord. And for good measure today, I want to read that one more time. Tremble and do not sin. Meditate in your heart upon your bed and be still. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and trust in the Lord. These words, speak, tremble, meditate, be still, offer, trust. If God has set apart people for God's self, we must ask, where does godliness come from? Does godliness come first and then cause us to be set apart? Or does God setting them apart create godliness? In the context of the rest of the scriptures, we interpret the text to mean that God is the actor in setting us apart, that God does that work in our lives. And because we are set apart, then we can respond as gift. And that is freedom. We're unleashed, freed to live that way. To be set apart means to be made distinct or to be separated out for a special purpose or for a special aim. When we think about this and how it's written throughout the scriptures, we ask, what are we made for? What is our purpose? Once we identify that, how is it that we are to live it or to be it or to go further in that passion and in that purpose? Well, that's where we look to God, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, the one who leads and shapes and forms God's people to live with that purpose in life. And as we are set apart for God in this world to do these good works, again, they're in response to God's grace that has been poured out in Jesus. And so we are not separated or set apart to be alone. We are set apart to be a part of community, the people of God. Say that fast 10 times. That you are not set apart to be a part, but you're set apart to be a part of community, the whole people of God in this world. And we actually learn more about our purpose and about our call in living it in the context of community. And if we ever feel alone in our gifts or in trying to discover our gifts or our passion and purpose, it's there in community that God places us and that God asks us to care for those kinds of gifts. When I hear these words in the psalm, I think about that being chosen by someone, being chosen by someone who expresses their appreciation or love for you. Being chosen by God has profound meaning and value in our life. It's God's delight to choose us. And once we're chosen and we recognize that we're chosen and that we're called to live in relationship, there, that gift cannot be taken away. And our response is love, 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 love. To simply pour out love in deep appreciation for already being chosen, already being called, already being raised up. Now, as we go further into this psalm, the NIV version urges us, in our anger, we are not to sin. The Jerusalem Bible commands us to tremble and to give up sinning. The King James version charges us to stand in awe and sin not. The New American Standard Bible has the phrase, tremble and do not sin. All of these translations convey the idea of trembling, because the first Hebrew verb there carries the connotation of quivering or having a sense of fear, being overwhelmed. That's what that trembling's about. Not shirking away from or being fear-filled of being destroyed, but being so in awe, blown away by, drawn into the story that we're overwhelmed and yet we feel peace. And when we feel that peace, maybe perhaps easier to declare our sin, to ask for forgiveness from that sin, to not be limited by our sin. Now, Martin Luther wrote a lot about this subject in how we understand the law and the gospel. And the law, the right use of the law, kept stressing that the law can't make us good, but it's a mirror to show us that we are sinners, that we fall short, and how much then that we are in need of a Savior. We can't do life. We can't save ourselves. We need God. And so when we see that we fail or fall short, we count on God's grace again to do the atoning work, to raising us up. And though the Lord has set us apart as godly or a little less than God, as we hear in the scriptures, our human nature keeps us from sometimes living like that. We still stumble and don't quite make our way there. And that is why Martin Luther, and I think Marva Dawn in this chapter, points to why some fear, some trembling is good. When we realize with awe and trembling that we have no right to stand before God, then we will rejoice more profoundly in the magnificent love that God pours out through Jesus. The hymn that we sing in church, "What Wondrous Love Is This," proclaims that mind-boggling fact that Christ would lay down his life and that he would become human and that he would die for us. It seems almost too good to be true. With a proper sense of our unworthiness and inadequacy and failures, we can sing out in wonder at the immensity of God's love, and we can respond to it with an eager desire not to sin. But we have to be warned maybe against this wrong interpretation of fear. You see, God does not hold a threat over us so that we are too terrified to misbehave or to omit a kindness. This is not the God of Jesus. Rather, when we behold the consequences of evil that we deserve and we notice alongside those the immensity of grace that rescues us from sin and death, it's in fear and awe that we can then intensely desire to follow God's desires for us. This is the fear of the Lord that is the beginning of wisdom. This is the fear of the Lord that is the beginning of wisdom, as it says in Psalm 111. The more we rightly fear God in holiness, the more profoundly and richly we will be able to respond with warm love to the immensity of God's grace and tender-hearted love. To stress all of that, Martin Luther began all of the explanations to the Ten Commandments with the phrase, "We should so fear and love God." Those who were raised up in the church and took confirmation, you learn this over and over. We should so fear and love God that we dot, dot, dot. And he goes on, "When we hold fear and love in a proper tension, our recognition of God's wrath, which we rightly fear because we deserve it, it's overpowered by gratitude and wonder at the mercy that's been born for us. And that means we can never take God's grace for granted. And that there is a response of thanksgiving." Just thanksgiving. We are so, so thankful. And that is our response more than good behavior or having to do something because if I don't, God's going to be angry. This is not the kind of relationship that God wants to have with us. So in that trembling, in that place of fear, that place of awe, silence is a fitting response. Just being silent at times, listening, engaging, living beyond words, like we hear in Psalm 46. In grace, be still Be still and know that I am God. The best part of our offering in faith, in our purpose, in response to being chosen by God, is to trust God, to respond with trust, to live our lives in relationship with that trust. And as we do, recognizing that we are liberated to offer ourselves as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, because the Lord has set us apart for God in the world, we get to go to work on raising up others, on bringing life to the community, in serving with passionate hearts and hands, making a difference, doing what God desires for this world and for all people. What a gift that is. And so on this day, for further meditation, a few questions for you as you wrestle with that true meaning of grace and being chosen. What does it mean that God has set you apart? Number two, what does it mean that you are godly? And how does that affect how you live? Number three, how does God setting you apart give you assurance that God will hear you when you call? And number four, how can you find the appropriate balance of fear and love in relation to God? A healthy balance of that trembling and yet that awe and inspiration in relation to God. Blessings to each of you as you explore and discover God's purpose and passion for you. Until next time, be well.